When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 13, episode 35, and no, episode 33 is still lost. It was not deleted, didn't contain anything of any badness. It was a technical issue of my new Mac. And look, a little tip, as I just said off air to John and Nigel, don't do an update during a podcast, right? Tip number one. So I won't. And I'll be saving this throughout the podcast in case, you know, once bitten, twice shy and everything.
Is that a new nickname for you?
What's that? Once bitten, twice shy?
No, tip number one.
Tip.
Sorry, Mr.
Anyway, two of us tonight. No Canning Townland. Basically, he said, I've had enough of West Ham. I'm going out. So there you go. Fair enough. I think we all three feel that us. Way, Mo. It's three of us tonight. Johnny B, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home talking to yous.
Nigel K. I don't think of what your name. Nigel K, what are you? Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Let George have his 4-5p rights. Anyway, we're here to talk about football and another loss. What, another one? Yeah, another one. let's go straight into it because it's the elephant in the room. Let's go straight into it. I don't think any of us were there from what I remember. John.
Hello.
Did you watch it? Let's get out first. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Yes, I did.
Did you wish you hadn't watched it?
No, not really. It was, you know.
David Moyes.
I was happy to watch it.
Post-match, David Moyes said it was close. Very, very close. He said it was a tight game. The players showed good spirit and endeavour. Discuss.
Well, yeah, I mean, they played better than they did against Arsenal, but then we weren't playing against a really, really extraordinarily good team, like Moyes said, against Arsenal. So you'd like to think that we were going to play better. We started all right. We looked like there was a bit more about us, but then it all fell apart, didn't it? We capitulated. And, yeah.
Do you blame Calvin Phillips?
No, I don't blame Calvin Phillips, no. I don't think, I mean, the first yellow was just stupid, but the second yellow, I don't think was a yellow, really.
Yeah.
So I think the ref wasn't very good.
Started all right, you know, holding our own. 9 seconds of the first half, 5 minutes added time or 6 minutes added time, and we concede right before half time.
That was a good goal. But then the defenders were pretty but
it was coming though, wasn't it?
It was coming. I mean they were better on the ball than us. They were better. I mean, if they could have finished better, it would have been a higher score. And, Areola hadn't. I mean, Areola made what, three or four saves that would have definitely led to goals.
And I suppose it doesn't make a lot of difference, but you know, the 2-0 maybe flattened them, because obviously the last goal came in again injury time, 94 minutes. So after 4 minutes of added time at the end of the game, they scored again, but the game was over by then.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really look like we were going to score, and I think their shout for a penalty was a penalty. I think Cornet did stamp on his foot enough in the box to be given a penalty.
Yeah, I looked at it though, didn't
I? I was expecting it to be given.
Yeah, so was I.
I think we were lucky to come out of it 2-0.
But I'm going to ask you the main question of tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If you were there, John.
If I was there.
If you were there at the City Grounds.
Yeah.
Would you have lifted up? If someone had given you and go, yeah, here's a banner saying Moyes out or whatever. Would you have partaken in that protest?
I don't know. Quite possibly. I was certainly in middle and centre at the Burnley thing, so I don't know. Quite possibly.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Nigel. Welcome. Let's go. Let's do a bit of a stat attack, young Nigel. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So, I've just got to get it back on. There it is. Nottingham Forest at home at the City Ground, 48%. West Ham 52%. So we had more of the ball than Forest. They had 19 shots, 8 of which were on target. We had 10 shots, only 3 were on target. They had 5 corners to our 3. We fouled 15 times to their 13. Dirty West Ham. Would it all go wrong, Nigel?
That's a tough question, isn't it? How far back do you want to go?
Well, you can go back as... We're all night. You can go back as far as you want.
If you believe some people, it was 2019. But still.
Is it true, by the way? You never answered my question. Someone on Twitter was saying there were Lyle out banners at a West Ham game.
Yeah, there was
during his reign. I couldn't find a photo of it, but
no. Well, luckily in the 1980s, it wasn't really.
He wouldn't have survived social media, would he? Probably Lyle and Green.
Well, would he have survived social media? I don't think he would. If you look when his first seasons at the club, he had 4 seasons from 75 to 74, 75. When he took over as first team manager, even though John Greenwood was still the club manager, buying players until 77, 78, I don't think he finished above 15th.
Yeah.
So, but in that period, we went to an FA Cup final and won it. We went to a European Cup final and lost it. But then that sort of really nosedived. I mean, we avoided relegation by a couple of points in 77 and went through the trapdoor in 78.
Yeah.
He then spent 3 years in Division 2. Would he have survived not coming straight back up in the first season?
None of these polls, were they, in those days?
So, you know,
didn't do a poll.
So it's... It's hard to judge criteria because I suppose we viewed football differently then. Plus, also, a big thing between now and that is the only people who knew how bad we were the people that went to the game caught 20 minutes on the big match or match of the day.
No wall-to-wall coverage the goals are available 15 minutes after full time everywhere on YouTube, on Twitter, everywhere.
You know,
that's also the variable of like people that weren't enjoying us in the the first division or second division as it was, weren't also having to not enjoy going to their local pubs and not going to their local areas.
I'm not saying it was more acceptable, you know, but I mean, if you look back at the Liverpool game where we lose 2-0 and get relegated, and it's on YouTube, and you can see the fan reaction, Liverpool didn't win the title that year. I think it was Forest, but they were about to win the European Cup for the second year running. So they were a bloody, you know, one of the best teams going. We'd lost 2-0. We're relegated, and the fans stayed behind to cheer the West Ham players.
Yeah.
In 89, we didn't do that.
Thanks for the history lesson. Let's bring it back to the modern day.
You asked.
I know I did ask, and I'm regretting it now. Obviously, we had... who did we have starting? Areola, Soufal, Zuma, Agüero, Emerson, Phillips, Alvarez, Bowen, Ward-Prowse, Kudos, and, of course, Mikel Antonio, our saviour, who started the match. Johnson came on, Cornet came on for Antonio on 75. Johnson came on for Soufal on 76. Suchek, of course, came on for Emerson on 83. And finally, Ings on 93 minutes came on for Zuma. Yeah, just before we conceded a goal. I asked you, right, without going back to 2019, where did it go wrong? Was it the setup? Was it the tactics? Or was it just Forest were too good for us at the City Ground?
Combination of all, in my opinion. We know what the tactics are. Funny enough, I'm guessing so did Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure that they... Away games, it's a different criteria, isn't it? It's more on the home team to come at you. More on the away team to... I don't know. Sometimes I think West Ham fans think that, you know, we should go to away games and just carry on the same way. It never used to be that way. I don't know why people think that, but
I don't think the majority do.
No, but I don't. The funny thing is, if you take the two goals out, which is mad really, because it is football and the idea of football is scoring goals, I don't think the performance was that bad, but it highlights some severe deficiencies in the makeup of the squad. And the way that we play, I've seen some things, read some things, and I think, well, actually, it is quite true in that, I can throw out any stat to say why Moyes should stay. I could probably throw out loads of stats as to why he should go. But we're not playing the football that we played in 21 or in 22. Moyes as West Ham has regressed.
Well, we're playing the league performance form last season, weren't we?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I don't know. At the moment, I'd say the football was worse than last season. You know, yeah. The Bournemouth game bored me. I said it at the time. I was sat there and it bored the life out of me. The Arsenal game, I don't know how to describe that. Realistically, you know, the worst home defeat in 60 odd years. And then the Forest game, I expected something a bit better. When you look at Antonio, and there's a bit of me, do I cut him slack because it was his first game back after injury? Or when a man goes on a podcast and absolutely slates strikers at other clubs to then...
Gets through on goal one-on-one,
allows the defender to get back at him and then has the ball nicked off of him without getting a shot in. You know, and the weird thing is the nearer you get the goal, sometimes, the less chance you have of scoring, more chance a goalkeeper had. The ones I hated were the ones that shot early because invariably they went in. Because as a keeper's always taught, you come out narrow the angle and the defender got back and got in front of him to nick the ball away. So, plus we're relying on a 34-year-old striker still to carry us. I think 2 years ago, a lot of people, I think even me, was saying, can't really carry on, can it?
Well, Moyes has admitted, well, not so much a striker, but he's missing. We're missing one player. You know, our whole team seems to have collapsed. Pacatong. You know, he said, I don't want to hang it on one player, but... He then proceeded to say, you know, all that creativity. Kudos doesn't look like the player he was without Pacatar. Bowen doesn't look, you know, and it now appears, whether this is just perception or not, Pakatari is that key playmaker that makes the team look so well. And without him, it's just not working for us.
Yeah, the funny thing is people will go, you see people, general people on Twitter, cancer, you know. The thing with Twitter now is you don't have to follow people and you get to read what they say.
Yeah.
Which makes the old idea of following people a bit bonkers, in my opinion. But, you know, you'll see them say, ah, we're a one-man team and everything. And you're thinking, well, a lot of the time West Ham are a one-man team. Especially, like, recently. You know,
creativity, right?
Yeah, you know, we're the type of club, if we've got a creative player, and we lose him, it is really going to affect us. Shouldn't affect us the amount it's had. And I think, Moyes' press conferences are a bit strange.
All right, you've brought that up, and I am going to ask you the same question I asked John, which is, if you were there, would you have held up? You know, you're there in the moment.
Not. You
wouldn't have done that. But that's fair enough. I'm not chastising the people who did, because I think it's democratic right to do what you want to do, right? People shouldn't.
It's a shift, I suppose, in my way of thinking as well, because, you know, the one thing I've always said is, you know.
It's a bit recycling. It's the same bloody thing that they made, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's that Moyes out was a social media thing, and it was. It was a social media thing. Well, it ain't now, is it? Because it weren't two geezers, it weren't three geezers, it was quite a lot of people.
Well, it was 20 or 30.
Yeah, no, but the word there, you speak to lights at Dodsey saying
no,
that there's
that's
been
what
a
I'm
sea change in there.
You can see that.
Yeah, but everybody knew it was planned because, you know, Len was telling me beforehand.
But you're saying there's been a sea change within the away support.
I think the balance has now swayed, but at the end of the day, after 8 games without winning, the funny thing is that, you know, Nottingham Forest were in a poor run of form, the same as West Ham this year, except they'd won one game.
Yeah,
they'd beat Bristol City, we didn't. And therein lies a story there.
Yeah, by the way, I've just saved the first 16 minutes, so it's in the can, right? It's in the bag.
But it's just, there is a sea change. The fans and the match-going fans now, or especially the away fans, have had enough.
Well, that's a nice little link into the poll I did with 8,000. And people have asked me...
What, my poll, you mean?
It's your poll. I was about to say it's your
poll. My poll I put in WhatsApp for like a group
of
us.
So a lot of people, just to put it on the record, because a lot of people go, did Sullivan ask you to write that? No, he didn't.
No, you nicked it.
I nicked it. And I said in the WhatsApp, so Nigel put this in our WhatsApp group, right, with about 10 people. And I said, well, I'm going to put that on Twitter. So I asked the same questions, the 4 options that Nigel asked. So it's Nigel's poll, really. I asked the same questions. And I said, what should the West Ham board do about David Moyes? Sack David Moyes now. Decide at the end of the season. Offer Moyes a new contract. Replace him at the end of the season. Nearly 8,000. So 900,934 people voted over 24 hours. It was viewed by 41,500 people. The offer him a new contract, 4.2%. Some people say that they were Spurs fans, but look, I know some people that owned up to voting, offering him a new contract. The next highest was decide at the end of the season. I'll put my hand up now. I was decide at the end of the season, 15.9%, almost 16%. Lift your hand up if where you came, boys. I don't know. The third one, I know that neither of them are yet. Replace him at the end of the season, 18.2%. Wasn't that where you were, Nigel?
Yeah, replace him at the end of the season.
And the biggest, a landslide, 61.7%, sack David Moyes now.
Mm.
John?
Yep.
Yep, that was you, was it? I don't know, actually, where you voted.
I voted on that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, look, Twitter, X.
So hold up. So combine the leave at the end of the season and the leave now.
Yeah.
And that's 80-odd%.
It is 80% almost.
Yeah.
Well, it's 79.9 to be precise.
Quite damning, really.
Yeah. 8 out of 10. Want him gone. Yeah, with only, as you say.
So what was you?
20, just for 20. Where was I?
Yeah.
Decide at the end of the season.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about the board update in a minute. But let's finish the game. I just wanted to talk about that. So just to finish the game before we got on to Moyes, etc. Do you blame Calvin Phillips? Do you think his sending off changed the game?
No.
I'm asking Nigel on this one.
Oh, sorry.
I asked you.
Well, you're just opening it, don't ask
it. It made it harder, yes. Yes.
Yeah, one.
But... Do I think it was a sending off? Not on your life.
All right, so we lost the game, right?
Yeah.
Some ways I didn't expect to win it. I didn't have that feeling.
Mm.
Where I will criticise Moyes is the shit he came out with post-match. If I was in his position, saw the banners, etc., I would have just kept my mouth shut and say, it's a democracy, they're entitled to say what they want to say. I just wouldn't say. I'm not sure I would have said it was a close match. We had good spirit. I would just have probably said the absolute minimum, going, bad day at the office. We've got to do better. I'm just as disappointed as the fans. But no, he can't help himself. What he says is, not only was it close and tight and the players played well, and he was disappointed with Calvin Phillips getting sent off, but he then goes on to say, he's asked about the entertainment value, and he basically says that... entertainment, there is no manager better at winning than him in a West Ham guise. Basically been compared with Sam Allardyce cupping his ear. It's a watershed moment, according to some on social media. But I'd like your two's use opinion on that. Is that a watershed moment, cupping the ear, saying... You've got a manager. I might not be the most entertaining manager with style of football, but you have never had a manager so much that wins. Has he been reading your piece on 6'2", Nigel?
You know, there's a bit of me that thinks that been passed around.
Well, it could have done. You know, if it ended up, let's say, in the chairman's inbox somehow. Well,
yeah.
It might have been passed around.
Well, sure, we know it did end up in the chairman's inbox. Because it is funny. I thought that because I've seen some of the wordings that have been said even by senior sources. And there's a bit of me to think, you know, I swear one of them said about David Moyes is statistically the best manager we've had. And you're thinking, right, okay. Which is, you know, it was, I don't know about the Duckworth-Lewis scoring record. It was like the Kahn scoring record, I suppose, isn't it? Way of doing it. His press conferences are getting stupider and stupider.
Yeah.
As it goes. And he's pushing the envelope to the full in what he says, but it's weird because you could break it apart in what he says. So if you listen to the one, I get confused. So it weren't the match of the day one. It must be the general, because he's got the big back Nottingham Forest backdrop behind him, not the general Premier League backdrop behind him. So he's sitting in a press conference and he goes on about his winning record and everything else, and he says when he goes, he said the club hasn't had it this good. And, of course, he is wrong in a way, but he's right in a way. But what he should have said was, is that in the Premier League era, we've not had it so good. And I think that is the case.
Yeah.
I think that is the case. Historically, though, no, we've had better, Dave.
Yeah, and we've won proper cups, Dave.
Well, I think the Champions Europe Conference League is a proper cup. So, but...
Yeah, it's not the FA Cup, is it?
No, it's not the FA. And this is the thing.
You'd rather have won the FA Cup last season.
Yeah, so, well, I'd rather win it any season all day long. And
well, there you go.
I lost a lot of respect for him after the Liverpool game. To be that close to, a semi-final. Not saying against an easy opponent, but like it would have been Fulham. And you think when you looked at the teams left, us and Liverpool at that time were the top two teams left in the competition. If we'd have turned up the Liverpool, if we'd have done something properly there. It is baffling me how we can put in performances against Man United at home and then Arsenal away.
It is. But it's got to be some of the players' fault. It can't just be the manager.
No.
Could it be a little piece of what's happened at other clubs? You've seen it happen at Chelsea where they all stopped playing for a manager. You've seen it happen at Tottenham when they had like Conte and things, when they get sick of the same sort of training and the same whatever and the same tactics. And
I don't know if they get sick. I don't think the players get sick of it because
there's not a bit of it like you would just switch off from it a bit. Yeah, you just get bored of it and you just, not intentionally, but you just like just get sick. We all see it, don't we? He sets up the same way home or away, sets up with the same whoever you're playing against. So everyone knows what. It's just tedious, isn't it, all round?
It's not and work this week. Okay, same again, lads. I don't believe they've down tools. I don't think he's built this team. Yeah, and this is the thing, which is we can go. This is Moyes' team. He's built this team.
Yeah, and his squad and everything.
And if you look at 2020, 2021, a lot of the players that were there weren't brought in by him. So he picked up a team that was underperforming and performed better. What he's done is he's now built a team. He's added to it. Now, in a way, you could argue that recently, Paquetar, great, fantastic sign, isn't it? Alvarez, great signing. Mavropanos, Caduce, fantastic signing. Bowen was signed under his watch, so quite how much knowledge he had, because he was only at the club 3 weeks before Bowen joined, or 4 weeks. So quite how much input Dave really had in the signing of Bowen, I don't know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But at the end of the day, these are all signed on his watch, and people throw this $500 million stat out to derise him, and you think, well, he has spent $500 million, and if you look at the quality of players he signed recently, he's done well with that. But he has signed 36 players, and that equals out at $16 million a player. That don't buy you a lot.
Yeah, and look, people who compare it to Greenwood and Lyle, you've got to do it of what the market was and what other people.
Yes.
It's really difficult.
People
can't. That's why it's hard to draw.
It's difficult to draw comparisons.
But then the other, having spent, talked about it, this is his squad and whatever, for whatever reason, our squad is very thin. Our squad is in balance.
His choice, 22
Our squad
players.
Is the second oldest in the league. Our squad is one of the smallest squads.
And that is true. Our squad is the second oldest in the league. And it's not a thing, but it did used to be the oldest. So it has dropped.
But, you know, it's still on his... It's still... You know, the lack of balance in it, the lack of cover, the lack of... For whatever reasons, it's all down to this management, isn't it? It's all down to his management.
Well, he's got nowhere...
And it's four years into it.
He's got nowhere to ride now because it is his team. And this is the thing that in a way, baffles me. He is right in what he's saying. You know, but...
I'll give you a few quotes. This is one of the ones he said when he was asked about the banners and did he see them. He said, I'm really disappointed we didn't win today. I'm really disappointed with a couple of results. But you mustn't forget the good results. You mustn't forget the wins. Even this season, we're sitting in a strong position. Last season, we were sitting near the bottom. It was only 3 years ago that we were at Nottingham Forest and fighting relegation. We've moved a long way on from there.
Well, last season we were sitting near the bottom and fighting relegation.
Agreed. He didn't mention that. He was mentioning 3 years ago.
It was funny that he didn't. But when you say this is the thing about last season. I think people lose sight of. There were 10 teams fighting relegation. That's how stacked it was. Yeah.
I think last season. Definitely for me, last season he lost me, and I think a lot of people got lost on him.
That is harsh. Though. Do you not think that is harsh after finishing sixth and seventh? And I'm not dragging it up, but when you finish sixth and seventh, you know only twice in West Ham's history have we ever had three top 10 finishes in a row, and frankly, in both of those times. We'd never finish Hawaii two years running.
But it is all in sort of taking it all into account, the players that we signed and all this sort of stuff, you know. And we got worse last season. And we did win we did win the cup, which was brilliant. But, you know, when we were just coming up after Christmas and we had that World Cup and all that coming in and we had... We were struggling. We were awful, weren't we? He kept playing Suchek and he kept playing. We just couldn't buy a win. And you're just like, you know, everyone can say, is it harsh or whatever? But, you know, managers get sacked when they're not performing. You know, Ranieri got sacked after winning the league.
They were fighting relegation.
But we were last season. We had a relegation battle for a good part of it.
They were fighting relegation with four other teams, we were fighting relegation with nine other teams.
I would still have no qualms of him being sacked for that at that period of time. We had runs of six losses or seven losses, or we had all these. It was terrible.
Can I ask a question to you two?
Go on.
We're doing question time tonight.
I have put a question up. Up to people whether they want to partake.
Can I
I've got a great stat for you.
Go on, and then I'll tell you the bald view of
it. It's going to be an article, and it is about.
Yeah.
So, John, you'd sack him now, wouldn't you?
I would get rid of him now, yeah.
Right. So, Sid King was sacked. He was the first manager to be sacked. We were 21st in Division 2, which was relegation in Division 2, which was the championship nowadays. And at the end of that season, we finished 20th. Now, back then, only the bottom two went down. And that was the lowest position West Ham had ever finished in their history. So he was sacked. The next manager to be sacked was John Lowe after relegation. The next manager to be sacked was Harry Redknapp. But he got sacked with one game left and West Ham were 14th after fighting relegation.
Didn't Sid King commit suicide within a month of being sacked by West Ham?
Well, after a month of being... he was stood down in October, sacked in the January.
He drank alcohol with acid.
Hold on, Sean. Yeah, I know because I've read all about it. I can write you an article about one day because I've even got the coroner's reports and everything else. And it was possible, not suicide, it was possible an accident.
Okay. Because you do drink acid and alcohol.
Well, no, yeah, but you could mistake it, Sean, because it weren't acid for a start.
All right.
So you know, don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Yeah. By the way, I want to apologise what I said last week about Roy. What's his name?
Roy. Hodgson.
Hodgson. Yeah. Oh, right. So I obviously didn't know he was going to fall ill after I said he was the next one to die because he was old.
Yeah,
so
well, he nearly was. Well, he's left today anyway.
He has. Yeah.
Well, we'll cover that. So obviously Rhoda was sacked after being relegated Division Two. Pardew was sacked. We were 18th. Zola was sacked. We luckily not to go down 17th. See Grant sacked, relegated. Bilic was sacked. We were 18th.
Yeah.
Pellegrini was sacked, was 17th. So...
Oh, hang on. You haven't mentioned Allardyce, have you?
Well, Allardyce's contract wasn't renewed.
Oh, so you'd leave him off conveniently. Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when West Ham last season under Allardyce, I think we finished 12th or 14th that season.
What's the point you're making?
Well, no West Ham manager's ever been sacked while in the top 10.
Oh, gotcha. So we've got to wait till we're 11th.
Well,
he ain't going to be sacked. Let me give you an update.
Won't be long.
Well, let me give you an update. So, obviously, talking to senior sources after the game, and what they said was they refused to give the manager the vote of confidence. Now, what does that mean? Because that can mean two things. A vote of confidence, often the dreaded vote of confidence, if you get the vote of confidence, it means you're about to be sacked. But said, you know, we're not giving the manager the vote of confidence. However, we remain hopeful that he can turn things around before the end of the season. The board were there. They watched the game. They were disappointed and said that recent games are like we're a bottom three side in relegation form. And they desperately want things to be turned around.
So that's when we need Len, isn't it?
Yeah.
I desperately want...
Desperately. And also said a manager can no longer trade on past performance forever. But it does give him some credit in the bank. Mm. Now, following that, and I haven't tweeted this out, that the senior source will be answering no more questions or giving a running commentary on the situation.
Hallelujah. Does that mean you lot all stop asking him as well?
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. He's basically said, he or she, whoever it is, has basically said, I'm not answering. Well,
well,
just hang on.
My question wasn't for the next week. Answers. Will you lot stop asking?
Well, I only can answer for me. I can't answer for you lot. So I can say I will stop asking because I'm bored of it. He says he won't do a running commentary, that they, as a club, need to look at this. Now, here's the interesting bit. At the end of the day, I really do believe it's going to come down to the end of the season and a vote. There's no hurry. The one I voted for, I think, is the one that will come true. They'll make a decision at the end of the season.
So you genuinely believe, right, if we get knocked out of Europe in the next round and we keep sliding down the table... Keep losing, and we've got to get to about 14th.
Yeah, I do, John. And I'll tell you why.
Leave it. Because, John, I can't say that when you look at it, I'm not saying it, thing, whatever. I don't see us ever falling below 12th. I'll tell you that now.
I don't think there's anyone that's obviously available to do a short term gig, John.
Yeah,
right?
You wouldn't need someone, would you?
Well, who would you put in then?
Well, you've got Heitinger sat there. He's like.
No. Here's a thing, Sean, yeah? And as you covered it, Crystal Palace, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't follow the football, whatever. If you'd have turned around and said to me, Nige, we can get the Eintracht Frankfurt manager who'd done the number on us, would you reckon? I'd be going, yeah, get him in.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was available.
I didn't know he was available.
No, but there you so because I don't follow these things. I'll tell you what, though. Crystal Palace have gone and got him, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, you know, and that's...
They've got a good manager there.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, and this is why I don't really sit there. I don't sit there and go, who do you think? Was there no one available? Because there is people available.
Yeah. Well, but that's down to Stuyden, maybe. I see Stuyden's brother joined today, official announcement.
Yeah, well, apparently he's leaving at the end of the summer, Sean.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I don't read
a lot of stuff. Steinberg puts on Twitter, because he puts everything. He doesn't really have his own replies on, does he?
I can reply to him.
His headline today was that we're going to lose him. He's going to go to Liverpool?
Well, I think he's trying to engineer his own move to Liverpool. If I'm honest with you.
But why would he? Why would he bring his brother in if he's?
Well, maybe he'd take his brother as a package. Who knows, John? But look, I said last time there is some frustration with transfers. And look, if Liverpool come knocking, of course they go. Let's be honest. Anyway, just let me finish. The decision will come down to the board. The board will get a vote. Now, Sullivan has, people just think whatever, Sullivan has 38.8% of the vote, right? Not enough to make a decision, right? Terry Brown and Daniel Harris have 1.1% between them. No influence, right? So Tripp Smith and them really can't influence it. So you've got 25.1% with Vanessa Gold and Dan Cunningham for the Gold family. They haven't sold that 10% yet. And you've got Daniel Krudinski with 27%. Now, there's going to be a story later tonight that Clarence Hugh are going to run, saying that Krudinski's not happy. Right, he's not happy with the way things are panning out this season. I assume he means as a manager, but he's not happy. So assuming he votes, and I have heard whispers that he doesn't think Moyes is a good enough manager. Assuming he votes against and Sullivan votes for, the chief cheerleader for David Moyes, I hear, is Karen Brady. Karen Brady has taken over from David Gold. David Gold fought for David Moyes to be brought back the second time, was his biggest cheerleader since David Gold passed away. Karen Brady has been saying to the board, this is a good manager, he gets us, he's made West Ham the most successful they've ever been, wins, blah, 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 right? This, where it comes interesting, if you've got Krudinski on one side with his 27% and you've got Sullivan on the other side with 38.8%, the 25% currently operated by Vanessa Gold and Dan Cunningham, who's a West Ham fan and the widower of Jacqueline Gold, is a deciding vote. And we don't really know where they stand. You know, does Vanessa Gold follow her dad's wishes of his legacy, that he was a big David Moyes fan? Or does Dan Cunningham, who's on social media, is on Twitter, etc., like to support the fans and say, enough's enough? That's where the real power, I think, happens. It's the Gold shares.
Right, it's the whole thing.
Which way is they swing at the end of the season. Which
the whole thing is the board. Is the whole issue is the board's doing. All of it is down to the board.
It's
lack of action, lack of ambition, or acceptance of mediocrity. Whatever it is, it's all down to the board.
We said it all before. Acceptance and mediocrity.
Well, they don't. They're more than happy with the status quo.
Obviously, I write a lot of stuff now, and I put stuff out, and people, you know, whatever, seem to think I'm this rabid Moyes in. All I try and put out is a different narrative to the constant noise. And a lot of it that I see is a false narrative from those that are vicious Moyes out people.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so that's when I try to bring it back to the middle ground. But when I say Moyes is good for business, and this is the thing, people see football is a business now. I don't support West Ham Business Club. I've always said I support the football club. Yeah? But if you own a football club, then you need the money, didn't you, to roll in. Now, the fact that we've had this record income recently. You could say it's been thanks to David Moyes and the fact that he did get a sixth, did get a seventh, and he did win a cup. And he did get back into Europe this season with the extra ticket sales. And the Europa League pays out far more money. We'll earn more money getting to the quarterfinal of the Europa League than we will with the Conference League winning.
Yeah, but how much do you lose by dropping down the table?
Hold up. The club finished for a budget of a 10th place finish. So he overachieved finishing sixth. He overachieved finishing seventh. Let's see where we finish
this
season.
What happened last season then? What did he achieve?
He
made an extra $3 million from the cup.
But you can pay off the money that he's earned before. So
what do you mean an extra $3 million?
I thought we only made a $3 million profit for winning the Europa Conference.
We made about 15, 18 million.
We earned 20 million from the prize money. And then if you look at the ticket money on top of that, it works out about 35 million, John.
I thought it was a lot less than that compared to the Europa. What's the Europa offering then?
We earn a lot more from Europa.
Did we earn like 50 million?
It's about 45 million. So we earned about 10 million from Europa of getting into the semi-final. But a lot of that was ticket money. So we've earned so far, for winning the whole thing last time, it worked out about 35 million.
But then you got the shirt sales for the worst shirt in the world.
Yeah.
They were pumping them out.
Yeah, but if you look at retail, it didn't really increase. So, we haven't seen retail.
That's what I'm saying. So this is the thing. So when you look at it, David Moyes has been good for business.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. They're so happy with that.
When you're the owner of the football club, and bearing in mind, David Moyes could sit there and go, the reason you could afford Kudos, the reason you could afford Alvarez is because I got you into these positions.
Yeah. But this what's going on now is all of their doing. Because if that's how they genuinely feel, which is their right to, because we can all
come
see
out and say
it's good for business, they should have given him a new contract at the end of last season.
Oh, no.
His contract running out is a big part of either back him or sack him.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of it. It's their inability to decide. Their lack of action is causing...
Yeah, I think they should have given him a new contract another 2 years.
Yeah. And
after the cup win. Because if you... let's get it right. Only four managers now, and one of them's the War Cup, I'm being generous, have ever won a trophy out of 17. That's got to stand for something. If a geezer can't be given a new contract for winning a proper trophy...
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, so that's it for the first episode, episode 35. We're going to be talking in episode 36, the next one, Question Time, which will be available very soon. So it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from John.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Nigel.
I'm in my shed.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
And Harry, I think that's what West Ham fans are suggesting they want to see at the moment. They want to see their side play more expansive football. I mean, David Moyes has stood up for himself and said, look, these are good times for West Ham fans. But when you were at West Ham, was the demand always for them to play attractive football? Was that more important almost than the results?
Yeah, I think, the reputation, Jeff, is... it's a reputation that came from way, way back, the Academy of Football. That was because Ron Greenwood, who was West Ham's greatest ever manager, he was 20-odd years, Ron, and he bought through players from the Academy, like Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst, Martin Peters, Trevor Brookin was a youth player, came Frank Lampard, all these people came for the youth team. And they produced a style of play. Ron was a fantastic football coach, and they played attacking, open football. And that's when it was called the Academy. I mean, them days are long, long gone. I mean, you haven't got them players anymore. That was when West Ham, they were a special team. you know, they won the cup in 64, the cup winners' cup in 65. But you haven't got that now. You can only play with what you've got. And David's got, he's got, you know, he's got a squad of players, decent players that really should be finishing, I would say, certainly in the top seven or eight. And that's about, and that's what they do. And they've won a cup last year. So I don't know what more he's supposed to do. He can't suddenly come out and make them play like Man City. They haven't got the players. So David's not a fool. He knows, you know, he's getting the best out of what he's got. It's not easy on the eye for a lot of the fans. It's not what they want to see. They want to see more attacking football. But I don't know if you will see that. It's not David's way of playing, and they haven't got the players to open up that much anyway.
Harry, do you sometimes think back and think, well, I'm sort of glad now that I'm not being a manager, because you're scrutinised so much, game in, game out. You know, we can be, you know, praising Tottenham last week or West Ham, and then the week after it's the complete opposite. Do you sometimes think, well, I'm glad I'm not part of that merry-go-round?
Sometimes I do, Tom. You know, I think Graham Taylor many years ago said, your manager is never as good as you think he is, and he's never as bad as you think he is. He's somewhere in between. And I do think the game, we get carried away, a manager comes in, oh, he's a genius, he's doing it, and then he has a few bad results, and he don't know what he's doing, he's useless. That's the way the game's gone, unfortunately. Everybody, lose three or four games and you're under pressure. It's a great, win a few games and you're a genius. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Harry, I mean, you've heard it plenty of times. It's, you know, it's a case of careful what you wish for, isn't it? And whenever you say that, everybody talks about, you know, what Charlton did with Alan Kerbishley. You just got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
of course, absolutely. You know, David's doing a good, he's done a good job. They're finishing the top seven or eight again. They're still in the European competition at West Ham. And as I say, they haven't really got the players to play the, you know, they've got one or two outstanding talented players in. I love Bowen. He could play in any team for me in England, you know. They've got some good players for sure, but they're not going to play the football that people dream about. There was not many of us left probably who saw that football, but that was a long while ago when West Ham played like that. And then under John Lyle as well, they had a great attacking team with Devonshire, Cotty, McAvenny, you know, Billy Bonds. It was a fantastic team. Frank Lampard again. They played great football, open attacking, attractive football. But he hasn't got the players to play that way. David sets his teams up to try to win football matches, and you won't change him. That's what he does, and he's done very well at doing that.
Harry, brilliant. Thanks Cheers, for joining Harry. Us, mate. Have a good day.
And you guys. Great talking to you.
Cheers, Harry. 03717223344. Tony and I have been going to war with West Ham fans this morning. We're taking your calls. Let's squeeze in a quick one. Dave is a West Ham fan. Morning, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Morning, boys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. So, what do you think? Are you in the Moyes camp or the Moyes out camp?
Oh, thank goodness you had Harry Redknapp on to speak some sense finally this morning. I do get football fans. We're fickle. You can't spit and lick. You can't have your cake and eat it. David Moyes has done more for this club than what's happened in a million years. Win a trophy. The only other club to win a trophy were Man City last year, and they won the treble, right? Then we lose Declan Rice, and then we're quibbling of going from sixth to ninth. Come on, boys. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I think you use the words, as fans, you can be fickle. You know, you want so much, and loyalty seems to be a real faraway place for a lot of people in football, doesn't it?
Well, it's just so fast-paced. We want everything. If Dave Moyes had changed up, right, we did what we did last year, survive relegation, won a trophy, then he starts playing out from the back, trying to play like Pep, and we start losing. They'll go, why are you messing with something that works so well? It's just always going to be based on win-lose column. We know that. That's sport, but the fact that he loses a couple of games against Arsenal, who are on fire at the moment, Nottingham Forest, who are fighting for their lives, we play badly, and suddenly we're saying, get Moyes out. So then we'll go round and round like we have done for the last 20 years, manager after manager, changing the setup, changing the game plan, losing, winning, and it'll just be an absolute mess.
Dave,
calm down, West Ham.
Yeah,
we're going to be all right.
You know the mood down there. Look, the draw hasn't even been made yet, but could David Moyes afford a defeat in the next round of the Europa League?
Well, it's going to be a tough time. You're always a couple of games away from being under pressure. But I don't see what the other options are. Who we think that we're going to entertain that's going to be able to take this group of players. Like Harry said, your personnel affects how you play your football. And if we don't have the personnel to play like Man City, we need someone who can get the best out of the players. The players have got to step up.
Dave, brilliant. Thanks for taking the time to call us this morning. Appreciate it, mate. I got a great text from Chris, the Liverpool fan, because we were talking about Spurs at the start of the conversation with Harry Redknapp. He says, morning, boys. I said this at the very start when Tottenham gave Postecoglou the job. He'll never be good enough at the top level. He's football's version of Eddie Jones. He came in with a lot of bluster.
Oh,
I think that will get a lot of Spurs fans backed up. That is for sure, Chris.
By the way, Jeff, as well, you know, we talk about West Ham and their style and performance. Gerard Bowen's got 11 Premier League goals. You know, that says a lot about, you know, that they are trying to, and without having a centre forward.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Without having a centre forward, Mikel Antonio has been injured recently. I think I said to you, they've actually scored more goals, only one more goal than Manchester United this season. Coming up, has there ever been a more surprising interaction at a football game than Mick Harford and Harry Styles at Luton yesterday? We'll ask Tony that question next. So,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.